Brother Ken has entitled his thoughts, Workers in the Vineyard.
What is it that changed your life to where you are today? Think about it. What changed your life that you're here today? It's interesting. Workers in the vineyard. God's vineyard, right? And you all are workers. Every one of you. You do something that the Lord knows. We don't know, but the Lord knows. One time a brother gave a discourse. It's the little things in life that count. I remember that. And it's so true. It's the little things that you do for others that count so much. Not the big things that you want to see. It's the little things. And how true it is. On April 18th, we had the privilege of participating in the emblems of our Lord, to remember our Lord. And we did it in remembrance of Him. I was going to ask you a question. How many of you have ever kept beehives? Do you ever keep beehives? You did? Okay. Now, do you know the characteristics of the beehives, how they work in the hive? You're going to, you probably may have read that article in the April Dawn on the bees. It's an interesting article. But it'll give you some inkling what it's like, how the bees work together as a body, as a group, and the characteristic of it. And yet they have what is called workers. Workers. Right? We've got workers. And you know what the workers do. They keep the hive clean. And if it gets too hot, what do the workers do? They fan to cool down the hive. So you can see how they work together. You know, Solomon talked about the ant. This is in Proverbs, the 6th chapter and verse 6. But he says, look at this ant, how it, you know, struggles and takes care of itself and builds this anthill. And so bees are quite similar to that. But you know, there are other creatures that God has created that work in a similar way. And then when you come down to the human being, we should be the same. We provide for each other. And that is important. But I want you to think about your own individual body. Look at it. Look how the heart, the lungs, the stomach, the brain, the hands, how important are they? They all are important. They all work together, don't they? But when any member of this body fails to work, it becomes a handicap, doesn't it? And it becomes a handicap to the entire body. And what does it do? It affects the members of the rest of the body, even to the extent sometimes it causes death. And so we see how important we are to each other. We lift each other up. And there's a reason for it. Our Lord wants us to do that. You know, if we were to be kings and priests in the next age, we have to learn some lessons on this side of the veil, don't we? I think we do. The other day it was brought out how we should love our enemies. What for? Well, what it does, it crystallizes our heart, doesn't it? Prepares us for the next age. In order for us to reign as kings and queens, as you said about the queen today. I like that. And queens are important, aren't they? In Psalms, David did refer to that in the 45th chapter of Psalms. But there's something interesting about being workers together in the vineyard. We have to become new creatures. And that's what happened to you. You're going to be a new creature. You're going to grow in grace and knowledge. And so, something else that Apostle Paul says, work in a vineyard, we're going to be zealous of good works. When I think around the country, and as I look at the brethren who contribute so much towards the welfare of the brethren, towards the witnessing of the truth and spreading a truth message. And we have brethren that you don't know of what they do in the background. We think of the brethren in Florida. We think of the brethren in California. Brethren in Detroit. Connecticut. And other parts. Canada. There's even those that contribute from other countries, from Australia, from Poland, from France, from Germany. So you see all these contributions, it makes the body function. It makes it function. Now, what is the work of a Christian? And Paul admonishes us to work out our own salvation. You've heard that scripture, didn't you? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so here, I think we have a suggestion of us being co-workers with God. That we have a work in cooperation with what He is doing in us and for us. Working together with Him. Now here is a fundamental difference between the material, natural functions of everything else that is within us. The material universe that we have. Someone talked about it today. But He assigned us as Christians, as new creatures in Christ. For ours is a new work, a new kind of a work. It's entirely different from anything else that we ever did in our lifetime. We're going to experience that. And the reason it is because it is God's work, not yours or mine. It's in the work which He has given us the privilege of participating. As we sing that hymn, how blessed it is that we work together. No wonder the apostle explains that all things become new in 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. And so we are co-workers with God. This is a thought that is almost sometimes beyond comprehension. How could it be? When we think of the high honor that Jehovah has bestowed upon you and me and upon His beloved Son, the Logos. He was a spokesman for God. When He assigned to Him the work of creation, in this He was a co-worker with God. For without Him was not anything made that was made. The Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 3. But He was the beloved Son of God. And always He was His Father's delight. I want you to record for yourself and read it, see what you think of it. Proverbs, the 8th chapter, verses 22 to 31. That describes the pre-human existence of our Lord. He was His Father's delight. Read it. It's nice. He was a powerful spirit being. next to the Creator himself. He had the ability to do the work of God. With us, it is so different. Yet the grace of God has made it possible for us also to be co-workers with him. That's true. No wonder the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:1. And so you're going to ask, what is the work of God in which we have been invited to participate? What is it? And Jesus explained this. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. John 6:29. Jesus does not here mean simply to believe that he came as the Christ, as the Christ of God. And Apostle James says that faith or belief, if not works, doesn't have it. Works is dead. James 2, verses 17 and 18. Now, a true belief in Jesus implies obedience. Obedience to his teachings. Our Lord was obedient. And willingness to walk in his steps. True. Believers are disciples. And Jesus said, if any man will come after me, or to be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's what Sister Laurel did. Jesus came to do the work of God. I must work the works of him that sent me, Jesus said. John 9:4. And so we look at it fundamentally. What is the work of God which Jesus came to do into the world? What was it he was to do? Paul answers that for us. He says, 2 Corinthians 5:19. He says, God was in Christ, and many of you can finish it too. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. There would have been no occasion for the Logos to come into the world except for the fact that the human race had sinned and has been alienated from God. And so here we find a loving plan that God had made. He has a provision to redeem and restore as many as would accept his grace. And Jesus came to be the Redeemer and the one through whom reconciliation would be made. This then is the work of God on behalf of humanity. But we can have a part in that work. Could we? Did not Jesus die and pay it all? Do not the scriptures speak of the finished work of Christ? Romans 9:28 tells you that. It is true that the blood of Christ is sufficient to cleanse from all sin due to Adam's transgression. He is a satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. However, to obtain life through Christ, it is necessary to believe and to accept the provision of divine grace. That has been made through him. And Paul asks the question. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Romans 10:14. And so the answer to this question is quite obvious. They cannot. And so Apostle explains that our part in the great work of God, the work of reconciling the world through Christ, is in fact that he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Who has that? We've got 4,000 religions in the world. How many others have that? How many understand that? You have difficulty finding it. Okay. When you partook of the memorial, when you look back at Egypt on the firstborn of that night, what saved the firstborn? Eating of the lamb? No. No. Exactly. The blood on the doorpost and on the lintels. It's the blood. It's the blood of Christ that serves as a satisfaction for the sins of both the church now, you and me, and the world in God's kingdom. And as co-workers with God in the work of reconciling, our work embraces both periods of time. That's what we memorialized. Both periods of time. And so, we're told we should work out our own salvation. And so, dear brethren, we have responsibilities. We are co-workers with God. We are ambassadors for God. Lola has become an ambassador for God now. You didn't know that, did you? The pay is very good. Yes. You got good benefits. And so in God's wonderful plan of the ages, there's been a wonderful goal set for us. It is described by Apostle Paul. We've talked about it. Brother David talked about it. It's the prize of the high calling in God, in Christ Jesus. Wonderful pay. Beautiful benefits. Much effort is needed in order to attain to this exalted position in the divine plan. And this is described by the apostles as working out our own salvation. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. There is a great difference to the great salvation which began to be spoken of by our Lord, and was, as the apostle says, confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, Hebrews 2, 3. Salvation from Adamic death is made possible through the finished work of Christ on Calvary. But the expression, great salvation, is descriptive of that high reward of glory and honor and immortality, which is promised to the followers of Jesus who strive for it through patient continuance in well-doing. Our striving, our working for this great salvation is along the lines that set forth in the Scriptures. What must we do? We must endeavor to copy Christ in our daily walk in life. We're to seek to be kind and patient towards those who oppose us. We strive to put away self that the will of God may rule more supremely in our hearts and lives. It is hard. It's not easy. Let me give you an example. It doesn't mean that it happened, but it could happen. If I took a sharp safety pin and I went to Brother Paul and I would poke him in the flesh. In the afternoon I'd poke him in the arm. Now do that every day for 7 days. What do you think he would do? He would grab a 2x4 is what he would do. Right? He would say, enough is enough. I've had it with you. There's the answer. There's the answer. A true Christian brother would not do that. I'm just using this as a... It's not literal. But let's say someone said things about you. All this strife and malice and hatred. Day after day, day after day. What would you do? You'd hit him over the head with 2x4. To get his attention, wouldn't you? You know something? The Lord will do that. The Lord will do that. But you know, it's so hard, isn't it? I'm sure you've had that experience. It's not easy. I think you read that scripture, but at the end that bring it about peaceful fruit of righteousness, right? Yes. How true that is. And the old saying is, suffer to be so now, right? Yes. Yes, it is difficult. But we have to seek to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I think sometimes the problem is, you know, we do not study enough of some of the wonderful writings of Apostle Paul. Someone brought out in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. But there's such wonderful lessons there that would help us to make our calling election sure. It talks about how we're to love. There should be unity in the church, as Paul says. And you have brought out speaking the truth in love. That's important. But it goes much further than just some of the examples that was given yesterday, which were good. But we have to also speak the truth, period. Not certain lessons only, but we have to speak the truth the way it's outlined for us. You know, truth is very simple. It's easy to understand if you have the spirit of the truth. It's easy. It's not complicated. Truth is not complicated. Brother Woodward one time said, I agree with him. He said this, if you're listening to a discourse and becomes complicated, he says, maybe it's no longer truth. So in other words, speak the truth so it's simple that everyone can understand it. That was the message. Everyone should be able to understand it. Don't make it a mystery. And so, brethren, we're going to continue to work out our own salvation, but we should do it not from the selfish standpoint of view. We cannot work out our own salvation by ignoring the interests of others. And so, the expression is, which emphasizes our own personal responsibility before the Lord, and that we cannot expect others to make the calling election sure for us. It means, brethren, that we must individually lay hold upon the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord and to make personal use of all the means of grace which has been provided in order that we might gain the prize of the high calling. We can assist others, that's true. Many brethren have done that in the past number of years. We can go back 100 years, it's been done. We have the example of it on Friday night of the pictures presented by Brother Homer. We could assist others. And we have that privilege, brethren, at the dawn also to assist others throughout the other countries of the world. We provide a lot of printed material for brethren around the world. India, Africa, Asia, Australia, Germany, France. And something else we have now that opened up. There's an individual that wrote in for booklets from Afghanistan and enjoyed the literature very much. And she wanted to use the first volume in her... she teaches school. In order to teach English, she wants to use the first volume in the English class. But not only that, and then later she wrote, she says, would you give me permission to translate Hope for a Fearful World and Why God Permits Evil into their language? Interesting. Sure, why not? And so we're going to get a sample. So we're going to have it proofread, so I don't know who's going to proofread it. But there is an individual who do that from Pakistan. Isn't that something? Somebody who knows the language from Pakistan will do that. We'll proofread it to see that it's not been changed. But you can see how the work goes on. We're all workers together in the vineyard, aren't we? You know, there's so many others behind the scenes. We refer to them as well-wishers. I think, Brother Wade, you've talked about that in India. They're well-wishers. They like the message, but that's as far as it goes. But yet they help. There's others that help even here that where we are in the scenes. They'll bring brethren to the meetings, and yet they themselves do not come. But you know what's interesting? But when memorial time comes along, they're there. You don't see them all year, but they're there. Participation is what it is. Participation. There was a scripture brought in here the other day, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you. I think this brother read that from the Manna text. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Let this heart attitude of mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The question was asked a number of times before, and I'll ask it again. What are you going to be judged for? How much you know the Bible? You can memorize it? How well you can quote scriptures? You're going to be judged of your heart attitude one to another. That's why you have different groups today. How do you treat them? What is your heart attitude like one to another? It also goes on their side too, not just our side. So that's why Paul says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. If we focus attention merely upon ourselves, brethren, thinking that to grow along spiritual lines and to become more like Christ would be deceiving ourselves. For Jesus did not focus attention upon himself. He was exceedingly careful to do the work of God as has been outlined for him in the scriptures. He didn't have to die on a cross, did he? But he followed. He fulfilled the law of God. And so, brethren, our Lord was exceedingly careful to do the work of God as been outlined for him. But the work that he did was for others. It was for others, not for himself. And this is the example that we are to follow. We are workers in the vineyard. Are we doing that for ourselves? We're doing it for others. We're doing that for others. Our present objective is not to convert the world, brethren, but to prove ourselves worthy of their glory and honor and immortality. Romans 2:7. It is well said that love is the sum of all Christian graces. And if we are filled with love, our constant aim in life will be to bless others. If we can exceed in keeping self in the background and consecrate our efforts on blessing others by conveying to them the word of reconciliation in keeping with the work of God which has been assigned to us, the great prize of the high calling will be ours. Now, we might say that one of the best ways to work out our own salvation is to work for reconciling others, to tell them the glorious gospel of the kingdom, to assure them that if they come to God through Christ in repentance and full devotion to his will, that they'll have peace with him. And by faith will pass from death unto life. Some seem to have the mistaken thought that in order to serve others, it is necessary to take time off from working out their own salvation. But every time we make known the glad tidings to others, the truth becomes more powerful as a transforming influence in our lives. I enjoyed the message that Brother Dave Blanco had because it struck a chord. Over a period of years, we had brethren that said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get married, raise a family, send the kids through college and school. I'll be all finished, and then I'm going to serve the Lord. It don't work that way. So by the time they reached that stage, their eyesight was gone. They couldn't walk. They needed a wheelchair. And it happened a number of times. That is a good lesson. Whatever you want to do, do it now. And that's what Solomon said. And I like that part because, you know, you fool. The Lord can call you tomorrow. And you're still waiting for your children to grow up. I think that's the nicest thing that we have as brethren. That we take our children to conventions. We take them everywhere. And they should be introduced to the truth from the very beginning. Don't wait for them to grow up. Because when they grow up, That's it. Truly, brethren, we've been called with a high calling. It's a wonderful privilege. We can all give our experiences of how the truth has changed our lives. If someone was to tell David Christensen of where he would be today, 30, 40 years ago, you're not that old. It's the same with all of us. It's the same with all of us. Even when I look at our dear brother Bob Gorecki here, you know, if somebody told him that he'd be leaving out east someday, he'd say, well, yeah, sure, forget it. But there he is. And there's Randy. If somebody told you 30 years ago that's where you're going to be for the next 25 years, Randy's been working at Dawn for 24 years. Now, somebody told you that before earlier. But you see how the Lord directs each one of our lives? We have no idea. We're all workers together in the vineyard. We all contribute something to each one. You know, when our finger is sore, it hurts. The rest of the body feels it. It feels it. Okay. On September 26th, Songs in the Night has a wonderful scripture. And this is a scripture that appears in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 19 and 20. It says, go ye and teach all nations. Proclaim the gospel message of the truth. Was the mission sent out. Our Lord mentioned that to the apostles. When they asked him, what shall be the sign of your presence? And he explained that to them. This gospel of the kingdom shall preach in all the world. And as I look in each and every one of you here, you're part of those workers in the vineyard and proclaiming the gospel message worldwide. Through your prayers, through your efforts, your cooperation. I like to read the Songs in the Night for that day of September 26th. It says this, surely he who was careful to supervise the sowing work is not less interested and careful in respect to the reaping. Let us then trust in the sickle of truth with energy and courage, remembering that we serve the Lord Christ, remembering that we are responsible for the harvest. We're workers in the vineyard. We're responsible for the harvest. But merely, remembering that we're not responsible for the harvest alone, but merely also for our energy in gathering that what ripe wheat we can find. Somebody found you, didn't they? Same with all of us. If the labor be great for finding a few grains of ripe wheat, we are to rejoice the more in those we do find. Isn't that what your feeling is? You know, when we get a phone call and someone says, oh, I love your message so much, can you tell me if there's a class nearby someplace that I can go and meet? Isn't that something? That's encouraging. Don't forget, I got to give that number to you. McGregor, Minnesota. That individual ordered a few hundred dollars worth of books and booklets. It's amazing. That's the third time he's ordered. And so, brethren, we want to remember, while using all this wisdom that we can in this service that you have, that the Lord's object in giving us a share in the work is not so much what we can accomplish as in the blessing that the labor will bring upon us. That's what it is. This will be so encouraging thought to the dear ones who are engaged in the volunteer work. Those who are engaged in working together in the harvest, working in a vineyard, how important that is. I like to leave a scripture with you. There I go again, with you. Yes. But brethren, when we go home from this convention, remember this. We're all in it together. We're all in it together. We're workers in the Lord's vineyard. And that's exactly what He wants us to do. Paul says this in closing. Philippians, the first chapter, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, "And this I pray," and this also on behalf of you, "this also I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge," or accurate knowledge, "and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." We're to work out our own salvation. And then verse 27. Whatever you're going to do when you leave this convention, remember this scripture. "Only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Verse 27, did I say it? Yeah. "So that whether I come and see or remain absent," Paul says, "I may hear of you that you are standing firm in" what? "In one spirit, in one devotion." You're not being blown around by every wind of doctrine. And then Paul says, "With one mind." What does it mean, one mind? It's you're having your mind following that one direction for the prize of the high calling. "With one mind, striving together." Here's that togetherness, participation. Work us together in the vineyard. "Striving together for the fate of the gospel." We're here to preach the good news of the gospel. And then Paul adds further in chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. "If there be any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, of any affliction and compassion, you make my joy complete by being of that same mind." By being of that same spirit. You're being of that same love, Paul says. And you're united in spirit, intent on that one purpose. Running for the prize of the high calling. Brethren, may Heavenly Father continue to direct each and every one of us as we leave this convention. May God's Holy Spirit be with you every day of your life and direct your steps. That whatever you do, that in some way it'll bring honor and glory to the Heavenly Father. That is important. One of the nicest things that the Heavenly Father enjoys when you go to Him in prayer and you ask Him for His Holy Spirit. That's the greatest joy. And dear brethren, it's been a joy being here. It's been a joy seeing you here. As the discourse we've given earlier, who knows where we'll be next year? We have no idea. And so the old saying is, may God's Holy Spirit be with you each day of your lives till we meet again.